Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. And as it is the 3 o'clock hour, we are talking about money. And I can think of no better guest than Pennsylvania Congresswoman Summer Lee to talk about what I think is one of the most groundbreaking pieces of legislation that I have ever seen in my 47 years on this planet. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Representative Lee. She was born and raised in the Mon Valley of Pennsylvania. She's been a community organizer. She's an attorney. She went to Penn State, go Nittany Lions, and Howard University School of Law, where she focused on civil rights and social justice advocacy. She's been a labor organizer working for the Fight to 15 to increase the minimum wage. And in 2018, she won a seat in the Pennsylvania State House of Representatives. But she's parlayed that into becoming the first Black woman from Western Pennsylvania ever elected to Congress. So first, Representative Lee, my congratulations for that accomplishment. And secondly, my congratulations on this incredible piece of legislation that you brought to the floor and introduced last week.
Oh, thank you. And listen, Maggie, when you say that you could think of no one better, I can. I just want to start by saying that. I can definitely think of better folks to be here. But we're really lucky to have had good folks around us to help us to work on this. People who have been in this particular struggle, in this particular fight for income equality and so much more, way longer than me, but I'm grateful to be in the position now.
Well, you happen to be the one to bring this legislation forward. And when we think about social justice, right, in my head, that always equates to economic justice. We cannot have social justice without true economic choice. For some context here, people, before we get into these particular policy proposals in the American Sustainability Act, let's just check where we are today. Since the 1970s, productivity and worker compensation wages have basically gone in opposite directions. Workers are so much more productive than they have been. And yet wages have effectively stagnated or gone down on a real dollar basis. This means that the benefits of our economy, the benefits of your hard work, aren't coming into your family's pocketbook. They're going to the upper 1% of the richest and wealthiest Americans. It's even worse when we look at the 0.01%, the really, really wealthy. Again, more than 40% of working Americans make less than the median cost of living for a single adult with no children. More than 40%, that's incredible. And it's even more heartbreaking to think more than 70% of Americans make less than the median cost of living for one adult and one child. The economy is not working for the middle class. That feeling that you might be getting screwed, yep, you're not inventing that. That's a real feeling. That is legitimate. And what I find so incredibly powerful about this American Stability Act that you've put forward, Representative Lee, is that it addresses both tax policy and wage reforms. So I want to hand it to you to start telling people about these fundamental policy approaches that as soon as I started reading them, I went, of course we should be doing that.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's this idea that for so long, Americans have felt like they don't even have a chance. Right? We don't have a chance to compete. When we think about the inequality gap, the wealth inequality gap is not anywhere close to shrinking. And this is something that has been persistent in and out of administrations, in and out of the volley between parties. It is an American staple. And so many people have grown almost just accustomed to it, right? Accustomed to this idea that there are some people who are just bound to be incredibly wealthy, and there are some people who are bound to be working from paycheck to paycheck. And the reason why it was so important that we approach it this way is, first of all, it's because of my lived experience. When I was on the Fight for 15, right, it was a brief time because it was quick before I realized that we were not going to organize our way out of this type of just income stagnation, out of this type of just tax issues, one McDonald's, one Wendy's at a time. And that was literally what I was doing, right? I'm going from Wendy's to McDonald's to, you know, Burger King. And I'm trying to convince, you know, folks who are being screwed in their wages by multi-billion dollar corporations that they are worthy of 15. This is back in 2017, that they were worthy of 15. So what the American Stability Act is attempting to do, right, is a transformative package of legislation that doesn't just address the need for an urgent raising of the wage. It also has to increase the ways in which the amount we make, and then the level of, you know, our living expenses, our cost of living, also many programs that we need. How is it always falling behind no matter what happens, right? So that's the first piece, right? We want to make sure that we're raising the wage immediately, that we are, you know, not just tying it to the rate of inflation, right? But we are making sure that it is to the rate of a living wage, right? So that's the first thing it does. The second thing is that tax piece, that tax reform piece, making sure that we're shifting the burden from the folks who are working class, middle class in this country, to the people who you mentioned, right? Not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen and experienced so many benefits in this rigged system. And we have to start to unrig it.
I just want to make a couple points of emphasis about what you're talking about, Representative Lee. The first thing that I noted was we need to stop calling this a minimum wage, because some baked into that is this valuing or this idea that you should pay your workers the very least that you can get away with.
Yeah.
When corporations and business owners, you don't put those shekels in your pocket without your workers. They need to eat at that same table you do. If you're getting fat, your workers get fat along with you. That is the way the social contract in capitalism is designed to work. So the legislation, its very namesake, is that we're going to move away from this concept of a minimum wage to a stability wage, immediately raise that wage floor to $20 an hour, and then index that to either annual inflation or the increase in the average wage for all workers in a given region or in the United States, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. This effectively would ensure that we all get fat if our business owners are getting fat. And I mean that, in a really positive way. The idea of a stability wage. Thank goodness. It is not a good thing to try to nickel and dime and get the very most by paying the very least to your workers. I've never understood that point.
It's incredibly counterintuitive and it's counterproductive. Yes. But the reality is that's not a secret. We recognize that it's so demoralizing for American workers, right, who do grind it out. You know, we often talk about a 40-hour work week, right? But we know people who are working well above a 40-hour work week. But what they see and what they find is that particularly those who live in areas where the cost of living is incredibly high, right, that they're still increasingly being priced out of housing, that they're increasingly being priced out of the areas that they called home, areas where they work, right, or where, you know, they go to school or university, right? And when we're thinking about that, the long-term effects of that, right, of people who cannot afford to live in the communities that they work in, people who can consistently show up for work and they watch their bosses get wealthier and wealthier while they can't afford basic living expenses like their food, you know, like transportation. That is a fundamental problem that we have in the American economy. And it's not one, like you said, that we're going to be able to nickel or dime our way out. Recognizing, we say often, right, that a high tide lifts all ships. But we refuse to apply it to workers.
And I wanted to make this point also clear. When we talk about the stability wage, it is the way that in my economist brain, I always thought we should do it, is we know how much it costs to live in a given region. You put that basket of goods that we need together to live, a roof over our heads, food on the table, medical care, transportation, again, all of those costs, and you back it out, assume a 50-hour work week, because even that, I think, is low for what some people are working. And you can actually derive an hourly wage that is a stability wage. Folks, I am joined by Representative Summer Lee of the 12th District of Pennsylvania. She is a congresswoman helping to reshape the American economy to get back to serving the American middle class. and to make sure that the wealthiest pay their fair share. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about a couple of these specific tax policy provisions, because the first one that blew my mind was the cost of living exemption. Explain it to folks.
Certainly. So when we think about who, and when we think about our tax brackets, right, that's kind of where that comes in. Everybody kind of knows the vague idea of a tax bracket. And the people who worry most about tax brackets are people who are making less, right, than a particular amount, right? It's not millionaires who worry about a tax bracket. In fact, once they get to a certain, you know, income, they're not worried about a tax bracket at all. So what we're thinking about is like a living wage at this point is largely calculated at being about $40,000 a year, right? We can argue that, but the indicators, calculators,
give or take.
That's give or take, but that's what they're saying. And they're taking into account, right, basic living expenses, things of that nature, right? What we're saying is that people who do not reach that threshold or up until that threshold should not shoulder a tax burden, right? So they should be exempt from those sorts of, so from that sort of taxing, right? But what we're also saying on the back end, right, and this is the part where we're shifting it, right, is that folks who make over $1 million, for instance, we would apply a 3% surtax. If you make over, I think, 15 million within our bill, you know, it would be an additional 5%. Because the reality is that folks who are making up to the living wage, are still being drowned out by a tax burden. Whereas people who make a certain amount at that point, they're not getting any higher amounts. And that's where we want to tackle that piece right there.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Today is an especially important show, I think, not just because of the bravery of my guest in introducing what I think is absolutely groundbreaking and transformative legislation, but because of, frankly, how common sense the proposals are in the legislation. As I read through it last week and over the weekend again, the question that kept occurring to me was, why has it taken this long to return to these basic first principles, which is that our capitalistic economy doesn't work well without a wealthy, growing, vibrant middle class, right? And our democracy certainly does not work as well if people feel like they're being left behind. My guest this half hour is Representative Summer Lee of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District. She began in the fight for 15, but as you put it last segment, Representative, you quickly figured out that the problem was much bigger than that. And we've been talking about these particular elements of the American Stability Act, which you introduced last week, along with a number of co-sponsors. I wanted to dig into this cost of living exemption very carefully so that people can follow what we're saying. And so the first piece that the legislation proposed, as you were explaining, was not just a minimum wage, but a stability wage that will be calculated effectively based off what it costs a single person without any kids to live in a given region. So it's medical, housing, transportation, food, the basic stuff that every single human being to live with dignity requires. And then that stability wage, once we calculate what that is, we know what that looks like as an annual income, right? And you estimated, you shared with it that it varies, but it's somewhere in the ballpark of around $40,000. And then you said the piece that is going to blow people's minds with how commonsensical it is. If you make $40,000 or less, why are you paying any income tax on that? That is the fundamental point, is it not? Like, if you make 40K or less, no more income tax for you because you're making the very least that it costs a single person with no kids to live. Am I understanding what the Stability Act proposes?
Yes, that is precisely what it does. Because exactly what you're saying, we're seeing so many people who are paying far more than their fair share on incomes that truly are too low for us to be proud of in our economy. But the second part is that Right. When we think about who's not paying their fair share and what our and what it could look like if they were paying their fair share, and not if they were, when they do pay their fair share, when we think about all of the other just public goods, public programs that are so important to us that aren't as invested in because we see oligarchs who are not paying their fair share. The surtax on the other end, the opposite end, right, where we don't have up to living wage, you won't pay your federal income, you don't pay federal income tax. But once you get up to the very high end, that we are actually expecting you to pay more in. And that's how we continue to pay for our roads, our bridges, our programs, critical programs like Medicare, you know, so many things that so so many Americans don't just enjoy but need. They are earned in benefits, are earned benefits. So that's why that is such an important piece of this legislation, right? There are many bills that float around, not just at the federal level, but at state levels too, right? That float around that says we need to raise the wage. That's where the fight for 15 comes from. But even this says that, listen, 15 might be the immediate, but we recognize that that's still not a living wage and it's still not a stable wage. So that's why these pieces are so important to it, to this particular bill.
It brings together so many of these economic justice concepts, right? And again, we cannot achieve social justice. We cannot achieve the promise that America was founded on without economic justice and providing people with the basics. And I don't mean providing people, ensuring that people that are willing to work a 40 and 50 hour work week live in dignity in this country. I am sick of people saying we live in the wealthiest country in the world when we have not said to every single adult person who's willing to work an honest 40 to 50 hours a week that we promise you that you will not have to live in any sort of circumstance that is less than what a human being deserves to preserve their human dignity. That is what this is achieving.
But Maggie,
go ahead, please.
Because I really do want to add this piece, because even especially as we talk about human dignity, I want to actually remark that this bill, even in the raising of the wage piece, it does two things. It raises everybody's wage to the disability wage. And I want to emphasize that this also includes sub-minimum wages, right? So those are workers with disabilities. Those are your tipped workers, your service workers, who have for so long lived without the dignity that we lift up, that we profess to in the American economy. And I say that because there are going to be some people who work with disabilities, right? Yes. Who work with disabilities, and their work week might look differently than other folks' work weeks, but there is no less dignity in the work that they're doing, no less dignity in the work that they want to do. And they also will benefit from this.
And again, the biggest picture here is if you're saying to yourself, well, if folks aren't paying those income taxes, where are they made up for? The American Stability Act addresses that in effectively a surtax for those that make over $1 million, a 3% surtax, and a 5% surtax on those making over $15 million. Y'all, those people will be living in dignity. We could slap a 10% surtax on them and they would be just fine.
Wealthy are still going to live in dignity.
That's always right. They will get
however you find that.
I cannot thank you enough for all of your work on this, as well as your entire career of service to working people and these economic and social justice ideals that we really should make sure become realities here in this, the wealthiest country in the world. Representative Summerlee of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District, my thanks to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for your work lifting all this up, right? And keeping us on the right track. We got to do more.
Let's keep going. I close every single one of my shows by saying I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Representative Lee certainly showing us the way forward.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.